Sportsbook app, and you'll unlock a mulligan up to $1,000 if your opening bet misses. Just use code FREE1000 and take your swing with up to...
Welcome in again, friends. Tony Husband, Jamie Watson with you. We have made it to week two of NSC Backstage, and we are proudly presented by Camarena Tequila. And you know what? It feels like a tequila kind of day. What a day of sport. I got up this morning, Jamie, and it was breakfast at Wimbledon, watching a little bit of that.
Great start.
Yeah, Djokovic looking pretty good again. Of course, it was raining, so they had the roof closed, but what's new in England?
Yeah, it's the same old, same old.
Yeah, rolled into with a Euro action. So there I am. Croatia 1, Spain 3. Time to go for lunch, I think. And then it goes 2-3. And then I think, nah, they won't go to 3-3. I'm going to go to lunch.
And then you get a text message.
And then I get a text message. Jay Watson. You watching this Euros game?
And you knew instantly. You go, oh no, yeah. I've just stepped out for lunch.
I reply, star, 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 or something like that. It hasn't gone 3-3. Sure it has.
It did.
Yeah, and then we finished off the afternoon, brew up a mug of nice English tea, and we Switzerland, France.
Yep.
And oh, another! Do you know what? This is the age of the great penalty shootout, isn't it?
It really is.
You know, people are slotting these penalties pretty well
in the penalty shootout, not in the games.
No,
that's
true. Of course,
Switzerland
in the game,
had the chance to go 2-0 up, didn't take it, and the next thing you know, they blink, and it was 2-1 France, then 3-1. You know, you talk about the Camarena Tequila. I hope you weren't talking about it being a great day for tequila every time a team scores, because that would not be a good day.
No. On a day
it would
of,
be delicious going down, but it would be a rough day because there were a lot of goals. And it was very interesting. Today was a unique day because there had never been a 3-3 game in a knockout stage of a European championship. The last time there was a 3-3 result was actually you had to go all the way back to the World Cup in 1982. So that had never happened in one day, and then it happens twice in one day.
And I was astonished at that stat, having grown up watching a lot of European Championship and World Cup games. So 1982, we need somebody to tell us, though, because we haven't had a chance to check this. I'm saying 3-3 was Italy-Brazil.
Italy-Brazil was your guess.
That's what I'm guessing, but I was barely conscious in 1982. I just remember that Paolo Rossi was the star of that World Cup in Spain.
Well, you are mistaken, my friend. It was West Germany versus France, 3-3.
Oh,
the Italy-West Germany game was 3-1.
Now, do you? Can I tell you this very quickly? I mean, we're
that was the final, and the other one was 3-2. Poland beat France.
We're a hockey town, okay, aren't we? As well as being a soccer town.
Yes, we are
in Nashville. And if anyone wants to YouTube and Google that 3-3. You'll see one of the greatest wipeouts in soccer history. Harald Schumacher, West German goalkeeper. Our guest tonight may remember it. Absolutely wipes out this French player and stays on the field. And a good French side don't make it through. And the Germans went on to play the final and lose.
But, you are a wealth of useless soccer knowledge,
there,
Tony.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Harald Schumacher, look it up. Anyway, right, we are here for week two of NFC Backstage. We are presented by Camarena Tequila. Last week, we had an absolute ball with our friend Dax McCarty, who, well, among the revelations, told us that he's still wearing the same shin guards that he wore in Dallas in 2006, I think. And so we're wondering what revelations we may get from his boss. Everybody's boss, perhaps.
Everybody's boss. Yeah. Our boss, his boss. If you're associated with Nashville SC, it all funnels up this way.
Yep.
We have a very special guest tonight, Tony.
Yeah. Nashville SC head coach Gary Smith is going to be joining us. We've also had a fantastic response, I should say, from fans today who've been sending in their questions, want to get their Gary's thoughts on things. We've got a lot to cover, though, as well, haven't we? Because we've got a week last week, which was just awesome in terms of drama and entertainment. And maybe let's get into a little bit of that now. Let's start by rolling the clock back to last Wednesday. And it's the first of the Canadian double. Toronto, their first visit to Nissan Stadium. And it wasn't going with the kind of script we hoped for a long time. Nashville gets it back to 2-2. And then late in the day, very late in the day, we get this.
Left side for Dan Lovitz, who gallops into the attacking end. Lovitz with room to roam. Lovitz along the 18. Shot! Score! Hawkinson! Old Gold has broken loose! Scripted in his dreams! It can't be a dream, Luke! It's better than that! Nashville leads 3-2 in stoppage time!
John Freeman on the call, ESPN 94.9, of course, your home of every Nashville SC game. And, just a great moment again, Jamie, as we hear that.
An incredible moment. And probably one of the most unlikeliest of heroes in Luke Hawkinson, the 23-year-old, had yet to score in Major League Soccer. And then, by the end of the night, he has not only his first goal to tie it up in the 83rd minute, but that very goal right there in the 92nd minute, John Freeman absolutely losing his mind, as we've come to expect. If you're a Nashville SC fan and you've ever listened to a game here on 94.9 and you've caught a late-game thriller, you've heard that time and time again. It's sort of been the calling card of this club over the years, and it was an incredible moment, I think, for Luke in his development, because he had done such a very good job of really kind of forcing his way into the picture a little bit more. He had been really good with the opportunities he had been getting, but it hadn't materialized yet into a goal for himself. And then the life of the stadium in the 81st minute when Toronto took a 2-1 lead, sort of against the run of play. They'd really been sitting in and seemed content to just take a 1-1 result with them back to Florida, where they're based out of. But then they go up 2-1, and the stadium, it just sort of fell flat, because it was like this no, that way that could have just happened. No, this didn't just happen. This doesn't go with what I've just been seeing. It doesn't match. Toronto shouldn't be up. And they were. But then less than 120 seconds later, Luke Hawkinson scores his first goal. The place goes crazy, and they just ride that momentum into the final and the final 2 minutes of the game. And they get that heroic moment from Luke Hawkinson. And for his efforts, he found himself on the MLS Team of the Week, as did Jack Mayer, who earlier in the night had his first goal in Major League Soccer after being recalled from loan. So a very good day for the youngsters in Nashville SC history as they started to fulfill some of that potential that we knew lied in front of them. And now they started to see some of that potential come to fruition.
Absolutely. I love the way for both his goals, actually. The quick feet Luke Hawkinson showed, left, right, you know, really sharp, very, very impressive. Great finishes and 3-2 win. Rolling into Saturday night then, Pride night, another great crowd inside Nissan Stadium. Glorious weather. And again, tough one. Had to dig this one out. But you just never discount these boys in gold.
And now Montreal, a chance to break and melt away some time. And Kyoto just dribbling backwards, dribbled into a double team, and Jack Mayer takes it back. Mayer deals right side for Leal. His cross off a defender, rebounds back out to Leal. To Mayer, back post, cross, score! Abu Dunlady! Try to turn the lights out on this team! And they will fight in the dark. 1-1. Hold the headline. 3 minutes of stoppage time to go. And is there more for Nashville SC?
1-1 is how it finished, and yet another great dramatic late show from Nashville SC. It is one of those moments where, you know, you do not, as these days go, press send on your copy. You don't file early. It's rewrite time, and it was another big moment and a dramatic moment, Jamie. And a point Montreal have proved very, very tough opposition this season.
Yeah, they really did. And again, the script was flipped in the 63rd minute with Kiki Struna scoring, which I struggled to almost come up with the right words in the midst of it to articulate just how difficult and how amazing the header was that he scored in that match. Kiki Struna, the defender for Montreal, as the corner kick came in, he actually figured out with the spin of the ball, the speed coming at it with the defender on him in the midst of it, understanding where everybody is, made that decision where he wanted the ball to hit his head, and he understood that in order to do it, he actually had to look away from the goal and let it hit the back of his head, the side of it, and change that angle. I don't know if the guy's like a mathematician, like a physics wizard, because he figured out the correct angle and trajectory to get it to guide into the back post. And then from there, I don't know if I've ever seen as many cramps or injuries. All the tactics that you might see to waste some time, we saw a whole host of those on display as the game sort of wore on. And you started wondering, is Montreal going to do just enough to bleed this clock out until Randall Leal goes and double teams, helps close down, gets the first cross blocked, sets it back up for Jack Mayer, a center back in the box. It was throw everything forward. Walker Zimmerman had sort of done that thing, and this may be a good question for our guest, Gary Smith, in the next segment, if he's okay with this at times, Walker Zimmerman just calling his own number from a center back role, going to a center forward position. But he was certainly up there in the midst. The other center back, Jack Mayer, who got another start after a good performance, a good goal that we talked about in against Toronto. He plays the ball to the back post. Montreal's defense is overloaded. There's an extra man. It's Abu Dunlady at the back post, and Mayer finds him. And the 94th minute comes and goes. And you walk away from those two matches with 4 points in hand, which averages out to 2 points. See, I'm also a mathematician like Kiki Struna. And that seems to be the kind of standard that if you can average 2 points in a game, you find yourself in good stead and good standing for the most part anywhere around the world in any league. So I think whilst you would have liked to have had 6 points through the first two games, obviously, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. But 4 points will certainly be an acceptable number, I think, through those first two games of this five-game home stretch.
That's right. Well, that's Jamie's view. We'll get the view from the main man, NSC Head coach Gary Smith is our guest tonight, and we're going to bring him into the conversation and include some of the questions from you, the fans, as well. And it's all coming up after this first break. You're listening to NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. And we welcome you back to part two. NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila, Tony Husband and Jamie Watson. And we are joined by a very special guest tonight as well. The Nashville SC head coach, Gary Smith, is on the show. Gary, good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. How do we find you on this Monday evening?
Yeah, nice to be on, lads. I'm just upstairs having had a little workout in my garage and ready for whatever you're going to throw at me.
You needed to be warmed up for this and pumped up for this.
I did.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we have our viewers on. Jamie will fill me in on this. So it's Twitch,
Periscope, YouTube,
right,
Twitter.
Every social media platform you can think of via 102.5 The Game Nashville. And, of course, we are on the traditional wireless as well, as we call it, 94.9 The Game. So some people can see you. And right behind you, I said to Jamie straight away, what's that behind him on the wall there? Is that a Celtic jersey I see?
Yeah, that was a birthday present that my wife Emma had got signed for me by Martin O'Neill. As you two know full well, Martin was my coach back in my limited playing days at Wycombe Wanderers, and he was kind enough to sign one of the shirts when he was manager up there in Scotland, up at Celtic.
That's awesome. It's a lovely frame jersey you've got there hanging over your shoulder. And over your other shoulder, you've got, looks like a team photo with some writing under it. It looks like a schedule. What do you got there behind you? It's almost like rate your Zoom background right now.
Let me turn it around a bit. That photo bottom, what is it, bottom left of the screen, Chris Ammons, our assistant equipment manager, he put together a program there of my dad when he was at Exeter City many, many years ago. My dad was a pro as well and started his career at Tottenham. And Chris had trawled the internet sites and eBay and whatever else and found this program of my dad, and he's framed it, and he's got let me remind myself. Yeah, I think there's a paper cut in there as well, and it looks like just the team sheet in the middle there. And I told my dad that he'd done that for me, which was incredible of him. Really grateful. And my dad was devastated it wasn't a Tottenham program. He said, of all the programs he could have got, he's got an Exeter City program. But anyway, it was very, very good of Chris. And
incredibly thoughtful.
Delighted to have it up on the wall.
It's a nice story, Gary, but I've got to tick you off for getting Exeter City on. You're talking to a Plymouth Argyle fan here, you know, and you in the first Devon club that gets named on this station is an Exeter City.
Tony.
I forgot, Tony, yeah. Well, it was a long time ago. I wasn't even in the world at that point. I'm not sure I can be blamed for
where
my dad ended up at that point.
Okay, let's turn the conversation then to the last week or so. I mean, it's been drama. We've heard it. It's kind of, you know, everyone on their feet, thrilling stuff. What's your takeaway? 4 points from six at the start of this, you know, big phase of the season. What have you made of how the last week's unfolded for you?
Yeah, obviously listening to the last segment, and I think at the start of it, we'd have been keen to have taken all six. I think we knew, and always do, the challenges of each team that are coming into town. And the old cliche of there are no easy games is never truer than, you know, in this league. Some very, very, you know, well-organised, competitive and talented teams. And if you look at the Toronto game itself, I think it really encapsulated where Toronto are at the moment. You know, struggling, I think, with what their world is like at the moment. It must be incredibly difficult, the way they're living and what they're having to endure. But nevertheless, an incredibly talented team. And it was always a concern that whilst we obviously wanted to be very positive and get maximum points out of the game, We knew exactly how dangerous they were and the type of individuals they have. And, you know, to a large degree, you know, we were staring down the barrels, you know, with what was it, 10 minutes to go. And, you know, that was a position that I wouldn't have thought anyone, including myself, wanted to be in. However, you know, we managed to overcome that. An incredible final few minutes of the game. And when you go into the Montreal game then, the challenge, of course, is the three games in 8 days. Fortunately, two of them at home, of course. But Wilfried Nantes, he's done a very good job with that group. In fact, you know, almost a sort of 180 shift from maybe where they were last year as a free-flowing, you know, really creative group. He's you know, really knuckled down, and that group's now tough to play against and very difficult to beat. And we found that out twice now. And whilst, you know, we'll all be disappointed that we haven't taken all 3 points. In the end, I think I woke up on Sunday morning grateful, to your point, that we've managed to bag 4 out of 6, and, you know, we now go into a couple more home games, looking forward to the new challenge.
That's the voice of head coach of Nashville SC, Gary Smith, joining us on NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. Gary, I've opened up the floor. We opened up the floor to questions from fans, and I think when you touched on third game in 8 days, there was some roster rotation throughout the mix. I think this question from David Thompson, he wrote in and said, how do you manage substitutions and player lineups with the competition in the roster? And I'll throw the caveat of 3 games in 8 days. That's one of the fan questions we asked people to input to the show. That's one of the questions and two of the decisions you made. Jack Mayer and Luke Hawkinson, both as substitutions and starters, made big impacts. So how do you manage all of those?
Well, it's certainly not easy. You know, we have a very strong group. We have a terrific group of professionals. And every player wants to be on the field when that whistle blows. And, you know, for sure, if they're not in that 20-man group, there's some very dejected and disappointed people. So, you know, first of all, it's trying to piece together the right group that goes into any given game. But in all honesty, I think some of the big challenges are, of course, you know, not breaking up the group too much from game to game and losing any continuity or fluidity in the team. Trying to obviously keep good balance around the group. The attacking areas in the main tend to be, you know, positions that freshen up and need to be sharper and brighter for obvious reasons. And they're normally the positions that get rotated the most. But I think we found that, look, we're in a run where we've been beaten once in 10 games now. And whilst I can keep the core of players together, I want to do that. And I also know, having gone through the type of season that we did last year, where we were playing, you know, 3 games a week on a regular basis, I know that there's a number of players in this group that are capable of churning out that work and at a high level. And the guys look after themselves. It's not just pre-season and the midweek work. You know, these fellas are coming in after the game and really looking after their bodies and turning round and putting themselves in a good position to play again. So, you know, there weren't many changes, just a couple, I think, in each game. But, you know, what I do ask of the players, and they've been terrific in this situation, is when you're coming onto the field, you know, do your very utmost, obviously to make a difference, but to lift the guys that are on the field and getting through, you know, the majority of the work early on. And as I said, they've, in the most part, been absolutely brilliant. And that can't be leveled at anyone more so than probably Luke on Wednesday night.
Gary, NSC Tacos has been in touch with us. And obviously one of the features of the season has been great comebacks. I think it's something like 8-3. I think you're outscoring yourselves in second half compared with first half, something like that. So the question from NSC Tacos, how can we engage in the first half like we do in the second, where most of the goals have come? And I know that gets to the heart of, you know, really since day one this season, we've been talking about trying to make a better start in games.
Yeah, I think every team goes out there with the right attitude. I know we do, especially at home, to try and force the issue and make life difficult for anyone coming into Titans. And of course, the other part of that is we want to get the fans behind us immediately, and they've been incredible. So it's not through any lack of effort or willing. I mean, what I would say is, there is a process that goes on here as well. And maybe the pattern we're seeing is that a lot of teams are coming to our place now, understanding and realizing, you know, a lot more about our style of play and what we're capable of. I think when you look at efforts at goal, efforts on goal, you know, possession in our opponent's half, a lot of the attacking stats for us have improved dramatically from last year. And And again, that's credit to you know, the staff and players in the way that they've gone about their work this year and the attitude that they've had. But I think that's taken its toll in the second half. And what we're seeing are teams that are maybe finding life that much more difficult because of the pace of the game and the way that we've gone about our business in the first half. And I certainly like to think that. Can we improve in that first period? For sure. And certainly we'll continue to try and find the solution to getting in front, because it is a league where, you know, the first goal means so much. And if you can get your noses in front, and I think we've proved that, our statistics of earning points and winning games is so much better. So that challenge will continue. But, you know, I'm also very, very proud of the group in the way that they recover and the character that they show. And when we need to, we know we've got a group of guys that certainly don't give in till that final whistle.
Absolutely. And some 20 shots racked up, I think, was the final stat for you on Saturday night as well against Montreal. That's Gary Smith, Nashville SC head coach. He's our special guest tonight. We're going to have lots more from Gary coming up after this short break. You're with NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila.
A little bit of Beatles to get us eased into our next segment. Welcome back, NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila. For all you Liverpool fans out there.
Lovely.
Ian Eyre will be liking that, I'm sure. NSC CEO. And I'm sure Gary Smith, a fine Englishman that he is, albeit like me from the southern end of England,
We'll appreciate a little bit of Beatles. He's our special guest tonight, Gary. Thanks so much for joining us. We wanted in this segment just to kind of open the conversation up a little bit more to the, you know, your whole journey with Nashville SC and this MLS journey. I mean, we look back to last season. It was the most extraordinary year for the whole world in such a difficult way. We're privileged to spend time and talk to you about, you know, various aspects of the job and how you do the job and the obstacles you have to overcome. I think last season there were more obstacles than you have ever would have believed you would have faced as a soccer coach. One such occasion, I guess, just take us back to first game of the restart. You go to Dallas. It's a midweek game. Now, we know for the record and for history, of course, you're not even there. But it did unfold actually into, you know, a remarkable anecdote about just the situation in which you did watch Nashville SC's first game after the restart last year. And we just thought that was just an amazing moment, encapsulate some of the challenges of last year and also, you know, some of the just amazing storytelling you can have in soccer, because this involved television aerials, knocks on neighbors' doors, the whole lot. You take it away.
Yeah, it was incredible. Just when you think that nothing else can go wrong, I should have maybe understood just what type of year we were involved in. And I was on my way to the airport actually for the journey down to Dallas, because we were flying in and flying out on the charter flights obviously on the day and straight after the game. And I got a call from Mike Jacobs, and he said, it was a little bit unusual as well. Mike's not normally calling me just before we're getting on the flight. So I knew there might be a slight problem. Of course, the worry was somebody had an issue, and that somebody was me. And he said, look, I'm really sorry to tell you, but you've had a positive test. I pulled the car over. You know, we've endured all sorts of issues, of course, down in Orlando. Group's been getting ready for the past 3.5 weeks to play in these makeup games against Dallas. And I said, okay, you know, what's the plan from here? And he said, well, I'll get you in touch with Jake, the athletic trainer. I'll speed the story up. I ended up going down to the Vanderbilt to try and get a rapid test. Found out that even if it was a false positive and I'd got a negative back, the protocols of the league wouldn't allow me to fly scheduled to Dallas. And at that point, I knew that I wasn't making the game. You know, fortunate at that point, you know, you can lean on, or I've certainly got the ability to lean on somebody as experienced as Steve Guppy. And, you know, my dialogue with him throughout the evening as it unfolded was very, very good. Undoubtedly, Steve will have listened to everything that I had to say, completely blanked it and did what he wanted, which is probably how they ended up going on to win the game. But yeah, I got back home, got myself set up to try and get the game on ESPN Plus, and realised it was on a blackout. And, you know, maybe, should have done a little bit more research. I'll have to blame you and Christina for that. But I ended up with no picture. And, you know, I'm now tearing the air out.
How close to kickoff are we when this happens, when you realise you can't get it?
Well, probably only about 5 minutes away, because there's not an awful lot of pre-game on those shows normally. I've got a couple of other apps that I can normally plug into that bring up the games from around the world or you know, in some more obscure places. Nothing.
No way to get it. And, I mean, this is the first game since the last time. March 8th was the last time there was a game. This is August 12th, the first game, 5 minutes before kickoff, and you can't figure out how to put it on. So what do you do?
So I think at that point, as I always do, I blame my wife. And she came up with the idea that our neighbours, the MacDos across the road, who are season ticket holders, you know, may well have the ability to get it on. And I questioned as to why. And of course, it was on one of the local channels, I believe.
Yeah, my TV 30.
Which I didn't have.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't have it. You know, I've got, you know, multiple other channels, but I didn't have that one. And so, again, you know, really convoluted story wrapped up quickly. Managed to get a message to him. The husband was out, but the wife and the children were there to begin with. And she said, look, come over. The kids are watching it. And I ran across the road, and weather wasn't particularly great. And anyway, ended up charging through the front door and upstairs onto their loft area. And we're now all sat around the TV, me, my kids, their kids, you know, my neighbour's wife. And you know, he within sort of 10 or 15 minutes, he was back at home. And then Emma was across there as well. And we watched the game, obviously. And half time, I was on the phone to the guys in Dallas. And of course, you know, we go to the latter stages of the game, and we you know, it's a very, very tight affair. And David Cam ends up, you know, scoring the winner late in the game. And you know, I have to say, I'd had a couple of coronas to try and, you know, just sort of take the edge off the nerves and the anxious nature of the game not being there. A couple might be underdoing it a little.
The old couple, yeah. Just a roundabout.
Just a swift one.
As the goal went in, I found that I was being more and more of a fan and less of a coach as the game went on. And as the goal went in, I jumped up and punched their light, which wasn't very, it's not a very high ceiling. And, I think it caused a little bit of a crack in the glass dome that they had there. But they're a terrific family, and I think they've left the light as a you know, a bit of a memento of that night, and he's still got a crack in it over there, I do believe.
What a keepsake. Yeah, you don't ever want to fix that now, no, because that if anybody ever says, well, that light's cracked.
That's the Gary
cracked.
Smith light.
And you're going, well, let me tell you how this happened. So it's 5 minutes before the first game. Wow. He comes over, drinks all of our beers, and celebrates a win and breaks our light on the way out. That is a remarkable story, Gary. And I have to ask you this. You've got the kids around. I'm a father myself. So I know sometimes you're around the group. It's intense. There's a different dialogue, a different way that you speak amongst grown men, professional athletes, and your children. So were you able to differentiate between being coach and being dad and what you were screaming at the TV? Were you loud? Were you yelling? What was your, how animated did you get knowing you had little ears around?
The language, if I remember correctly, it got a little bit colourful every so often. But I think it was all in keeping with the way that the game was going. And of course, the you know, as we got closer to the end of the game, I mean, listen, I'll tell you, I kept myself under control and, you know, usual consummate professional. My wife's account of it might be slightly different, and so my neighbours. But
don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
No, exactly. I'll tell you, I was very well behaved.
There we go. And what was that? What was the post game scene like? Did you stick around for some celebrations?
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah, I couldn't be more grateful for how they looked after us and what I was able to do that night. And I'm sure I've repaid them many times over with you know, alcohol and a few little nights. But he's Brian's wife. I don't know if they'd be listening, but I'm sure maybe one of them might be. But she's she likes the Trulies, and she's got me into them on a sort of Sunday afternoon down at the community swimming pool. So I try and keep her supplied where I can in Trulies for that particular event.
You're good, man. And since NSE Backstage, which is what you're listening to, presented by Camarena Tequila, as you're hearing Gary Smith, head coach for Nashville SC, tell a hilarious story about the games back in 2020 when he couldn't travel to the first ever win for Nashville SC. Since we're sponsored by Camarena Tequila, maybe we can get you some as well as a continued thank you, because we were grateful for that, and we're grateful for arguably the best story being told yet on NSC Backstage. Gary, we asked some fans to send in questions. Last segment, you answered one, and this is another one that you can say yes, because again, facts don't need to get in the way of a good story, or you can give us an honest answer, because I want to say this right. Lowen Benegas asked a question earlier that said, what is your favorite Nashville SC goal? Was the David Akam winner when you're watching it from your neighbors across the street for the first ever win? Was that in contention? And maybe we need to preface it. Maybe we go one favorite MLS era and one favorite USL Nashville SC. Or you take this however you want. Hey, it's NSC Backstage. You're the coach. You're the big boss. You can do whatever you want.
Well, listen, it's always a difficult question. There were some terrific moments in USL, and I don't think, you know, those days will ever be forgotten. It was, you know, it was the sort of foundation and growth of, or start of the growth of what we now see. And there were some, you know, some real values that were created in that team, and you know, some of which we see now. But what I will say is, as you get into, you know, the top flight in this country in MLS, it goes without saying that, you know, the magnitude of the goals, the atmosphere that wraps around those goals, and maybe what you're fighting for suddenly is elevated to another level. And, you know, Walker Zimmerman's goal to equalise against Atlanta, I know we lost the game, but the first goal for in club history in front of 60,000 people, you know, will never be forgotten. It was incredible that day, and you know, to get back on level terms was great. I have to say, you know, when we fast forward the win, and I think Dax's goal against Miami, you know, the third goal, how it comes about, who scores it, how he scores it, and at that point you realise that the game is really over and done with, was a wonderful goal, and certainly one that made us feel a hell of a lot more relaxed on the touchline. I do think that, you know, Daniel Rios's goal against Toronto, you know, it was only a tap in, but you got to be there. And you know, pretty much Hanny's work before that was instrumental in what happened up in Hartford that day. But what a massive victory. And one that, you know, we'll always look back on as being one of the top results of last season. You know, there's been some fabulous strikes and goals and moments within our very short history so far, but you know, they're just a few of the ones that I think most people will remember.
Certainly will. Yeah, some fantastic strikes, and just a memorable story as well in this segment, Gary. Thank you so much for telling us telling that story as well. The first time really publicly has been told that the night Gary Smith knocked on his neighbour's door and watched Nashville SC's first ever win. I just love the scene when the husband came back and just said, hey, kids, and the wife, you know, watching the game? Yeah, the head coach is upstairs too.
So we have a visitor.
Yeah. Fantastic. A great story. Gary, hang around with us. Last segment coming up. We'll take a quick break. NSC Backstage presented by Camarena Tequila. And we welcome you back into NXT Backstage with a little bit of Weezer. Say It Isn't So. Say It Isn't our last segment, but sadly it is. And Jamie Watson and myself, Tony Husband, are delighted to have the Nashville SC head coach, Gary Smith, with us as our very special guest tonight. Gary, we've had great reaction from fans today, with loads of questions coming in. We've tried to cover some of the themes. One that a lot of people have asked is, what is the latest with Rodrigo Pinheiro? We've seen a couple of brief appearances in this season. Where are you with him right now and his place in the roster?
Listen, Rodrigo's a terrific lad. He's got tremendous potential, and you know, an awful lot of quality that we see in the work that he's undertaking in training. There are many things that, you know, young, inexperienced players have to deal with when they come into a brand new environment. You know, Rodrigo has now spent, you know, 6 months away from his home in Uruguay for the very first time in his life. He's had to try and settle into a brand new culture, brand new team, brand new ideas. And, you know, to a large degree, the fact that the language barrier is a tad difficult at times. You know, he's done a wonderful job to, you know, to put himself in the position he's in. But, you know, if we look at, as an example, someone you mentioned earlier, Jack Mayer, no, completely different position. But Jack spent all of last year really, you know, trying to find his feet, trying to adapt to the professional game and putting himself in a position where he can play a part in the first team. And ultimately, he's ended up going out on loan this year for 5-6 games to San Diego, comes back and, you know, puts himself in a terrific position. And it takes time for players to, you know, to find their way, to, you know, to find that connection with the players around them. And I have no doubt that Rodrigo, you know, slowly but surely will play more and more of a part in the group. But I want to make sure it's the right time. I certainly don't want to put him in a position where, you know, he ends up failing and his confidence suffers because of that. It can be quite difficult to then recover. So we're on the right track, and he's got the right attitude. And I certainly think time will be the biggest factor in this one, in playing more of a part in the group.
Let's just bring in a quick question from Jake Goodman as well. Big year, of course, coming up next year. New stadium for Nashville SC. He says, what are you most excited about with the new stadium?
We're having a fantastic time as it is at Titan Stadium, but there's nothing like it being your own home. You know, I think the players have done a fantastic job from minute one of making what really is a rental home, somewhere that's really difficult to play. And I think that's been enhanced and reinforced with fans coming back to the games now. You know, it was difficult at times last year with an empty stadium, but it's only made life, you know, more exciting and more buoyant at the stadium now that we're getting good crowds. The new stadium will give us the foundation to move on from that will be permanent. And, you know, we'll have to try and find the little nuances of a new field, of a new setup, and get used to, you know, what that new home looks like. It will be a different feel for a little while, but I've absolutely no doubt that the way the fans and the supporters come out for the group thus far is going to be a place that really does rock when we get there. And that does make all the difference to the players. They rise to that occasion, and you really do as a team feed off of what the fans are offering, and likewise the fans feed off the team. And that's what makes it such a, you know, a difficult place for any team to go when a team does well at home.
Yeah, really thoughtful answer from head coach Gary Smith here on NSC Backstage, presented by Camarena Tequila, talking about the new stadium that Nashville will be building in the Wedgewood, Houston area. We're so excited for that. Can't wait for that around this time next year. Gary, we're going to hit you with the first four. Now, when we found out you were going to be the special guest tonight, we were very excited. And the first four questions that came to my mind were these. Not so much soccer related. Some will be, some won't be. But for the first four, first question I had for you, you've been here in Nashville for a little while. Wanted to ask you, what is your favorite restaurant in Nashville?
Yeah, Jamie, I've been asked that one before, and you're asking the wrong person about, you know, the local cuisine and finding, you know, some of those really historic places. You know, I'm a very straightforward person, and you know, I like the run of the mill places, the Cheesecake Factory. There's a place I went with some friends just recently over in Cool Springs called Wild Ginger. Fantastic food.
Great place.
You've been there?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
I've only been there once, but really enjoyed it. And
it was really good. I actually thought it was Dax McCarty's place at first, but come to find out, it was not his place. Good answer.
We'll leave it up to
Mrs. Smith to pick the place if we ever get lucky enough to go to dinner with you guys then, or else we'll end up at Cheesecake Factory, and that menu's too big. I can't make a decision between the 97 options on the menu. Second question for you, your favorite away venue to play at in Major League Soccer?
My favorite away venue?
Yes.
I'd have to say, you know, thus far, probably where we've had the most joy and maybe some, you know, some good results. I'm trying to think. Well, listen, let me say this. It won't be from this year, but it's BMO Field, because I won the championship there with the Rapids.
Good answer.
It might not be a league game, but you know that will never be forgotten. And every time I hear the Canadian national anthem, because you know we played Dallas up there in 10, and you know they played the national anthem, and we had our team admin at the time, a fantastic guy, Eric Colton. He made it sort of part of the trip that after the victory, pretty much everywhere we went, he'd learned, I think, just about every line of the Canadian national anthem, and he's American through and through, and he would sing it, you know, pretty much wherever he was, and anyone that was there at the time joined in. Probably BMO.
There we go. That's a good answer. Look, we got through two of them. We've got to wrap it up because we're getting to the end of the show here. So tell you what, maybe we'll have you on later on in the season as a special guest, because you've got some great stories, and I'll finish up my other questions for you if and when we can have you back. Tony?
What we didn't want to let you go without doing, though, Gary, was giving us a prediction for tomorrow. It's the big one. I guess, will you try and get a training session through and get off the field in time for England-Germany?
Well, we should be. Yeah, we should be in and out. We're starting earlier now to try and stay out of the you know, the real heavy duty weather, the heat. Of course, we'll turn them over this time. My prediction is that you know, a slightly aging and overexperienced Germany side will get run over by a younger and more youthful England team.
There we go.
I love
that answer.
I'll take that one. But you know, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be excruciating. It always
I know. Yeah. I'm trying to be positive. It's never straightforward. When you look at the way the games went today, never straightforward. But I'd like to think that's how it's going to end up.
All right, Gary. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. Gary Smith, the Nashville SC head coach, joining us this week. We say good night to Gary. Jamie, we will see you, or 2 weeks' time, we'll be back.
What? 2 weeks' time, we'll be back. Same place, same station. We appreciate everyone tuning in. We appreciate Gary Smith, our guest. And Tony, I appreciate you leading the ship.
Very kind, very kind. I'll sail it home and say good night. And thanks again to Camarena Tequila, sponsors of NSC Backstage. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks' time.